All right, let's turn tonight to the Psalms once again. And I want you to look specifically this evening at Psalm 9. Psalm 9. And I want to show you something tonight. I hope this verse just caught my mind. It caught my eye. I sat and thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And I didn't really know which way to take it. And I tried to get away from it, and I came right back to it again. And I was going to preach this on in the morning service, but then after I finished this one, I started thinking about our first Sunday back, and Psalm 122:1 came to mind, so I preached on it instead. But Psalm 9. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but there are some good verses in this. Let's start with, say, verse 13. All right, let's look at verse 13. All right, in verse 13, David says this. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou hast liftest, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation." Now watch very carefully. This is my text right here. The heathen are sunk down in the pit. Now listen very carefully. That they have made. All right, you with me on that? So he says that the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. Now, I think you can see now why I couldn't get away from this verse. It is just packed with picture. And I just couldn't get away from it. So we're going to look at it tonight. Look at verse 16. He said, "The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands." And then you have that word, higgion, or however you pronounce that. That word simply has the idea of meditate, to meditate upon, to meditate. But then you'll notice the next word is the word Selah, which means think about it. All right, so you've got meditate on this, and then you have think about this. And those were little like musical notes. We have in our hymn books, we have the score, we have the song written out for the pianist and the organist and the orchestra, all right? And then many times we will do like a choir song, and then there's a little interlude, all right? So in that little interlude is where he would have put the word higgion, and where he would have put the word Selah. All right, so while the music was playing, you were to think about what you had just sung. That's the idea behind these two little words. All right, look at verse 17. In verse 17, David says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." All right, I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. Will we ever learn? Will we ever learn? Let's pray. Our Father, we ask you now to help us tonight. I just want to thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for these few tremendous verses that I pray will guide and direct and help us tonight to see a little bit better of what's going on in our world today. And Father, I ask you to help us to have the right attitude and the right mindset toward this old world that we live in. And Father, I pray that you will help me as I speak. I also pray you'll help our folks as they listen. And Father, just give us a good evening around the table of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure that you have been watching all of the anarchy that has broken out all across our country. What has been happening in our country should have every American gravely concerned. I hope you're concerned about it, and I hope you are praying for your country. You know, the rest of the world just has to be laughing at our country, because no nation should devour its own. No nation should devour its own. And yet that is what seems to be happening. And yet that the in every city, in every major city, and even in small cities, this anarchy is going on. I understand that the anarchist came here to Westminster yesterday, and I think they tried to get some participants, and they couldn't find any help here in Carroll County for some reason. And so we thank the Lord for the sense of our people. I told Karen when I found out they were going to be here yesterday, I said, well, I know five or six good old boys I could call right now and just go down there and have a little talk with them. And I'm sure that it would be peaceful. I'm sure that it would be. But she wouldn't let me call them. But this is going on all over our country, folks. And our country's in trouble right now. And so I've entitled the message here tonight, Will We Ever Learn? And folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I am pretty much convinced that we're not going to learn. I'm just pretty much convinced that America is not going to get it. Our nation's problems have come upon us because our nation has wandered away from God, and I just don't think anybody's going to wake up and realize that we need to get back into a right relationship with our God. Our nation was founded on the principles of this Bible, and yet today those principles are being thrown out the door, and it just grieves anybody that's got any sense. Can you imagine defunding the police departments? I mean, I just cannot even, how do you even get there? How does your mind even go there? We need to defund the police. I mean, it's beyond my comprehension. I'll be honest with you about that. And you know, as I was sitting there thinking about all of this, I thought, I kind of understand what Jeremiah went through with the nation of Israel, or with Judah, in those last days before Babylon came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. I just went back and read some of that, read the highlights of what Jeremiah had to go through. And you know, nobody would listen to him. He was God's man. And they all knew he was God's man. There was no doubt about that. But yet no one would give him an ear. He was called of God to be a prophet, to deliver God's message, to give the word of God to the people. And yet that poor fellow was hated. He was despised. He was beaten. He was thrown into a well on a cold night, stuck down in the mire to freeze to death. And he got discouraged from all of it. He got so discouraged that he wanted to quit. And he did quit. But then he realized that he was called of God, and so he couldn't do that. God wouldn't let him do it because they still weren't listening, but yet God still had a message. And so this man just could not walk away from what God called him to do, even though nobody would listen to him. And so what happened? Well, the old prophet kept trying to get the nation to repent and to come back to the Lord. But again, they mocked him, they jeered him, and no one would listen. Because they would not listen. I mean, think about it, folks. Because they would not listen. God said, all right, enough's enough. And so here came the Babylonians. And the Babylonians set up camp just outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And even though the people could see the Babylonian army, and even though negotiations were going on over the wall, and they could look out and see Nebuchadnezzar, they could look out and see all those armed soldiers, they still would not listen. Jeremiah stood in Jerusalem and said, folks, we need to repent and call on the name of the Lord. And they laughed at him. They mocked him. They said, the old man's crazy. And nobody would listen. And so in time, the walls were breached. The soldiers came running into the city, and they began to loot, to kill. Anybody listening? And to destroy the city, people's homes, people's livelihoods, and they knocked it all down to the ground to make the city inhabitable. And then they rounded up 10,000 young people, among whom in that crowd was Daniel, and they took Jeremiah with them, and they took Ezekiel with them. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So all these young people, they carried back to Babylon with them to use as servants and slaves for their people. So Jeremiah was correct when he told them that they needed to repent of their sin and come back to God as a people, or judgment will surely come. And boy, did it ever. Wow, did it ever. Their beloved Jerusalem was leveled. People were slaughtered in the streets. Their sin came calling. And I kind of wonder, do you think there's anyone in leadership in our government today who understands how this relationship between God and a people actually works? Do you think there's any, I don't know of anybody on the planet that understands what I'm preaching to you about tonight. I don't know of any leader, any world leader who sees this principle. You know, get his cabinet together, get his people together, and say to them, like they did when Jonah went and preached, and the whole city of Nineveh repented, even the king repented, and was broken before God, and and God spared judgment upon Nineveh because they listened to the man of God. Wow. But you know, I don't know of anybody that understands that today, do you? I don't know of anybody. We all think it's, you know, my question is, will we ever learn? And I don't think we will. I just don't think we're going to get it. I wish we would. I think it would be wonderful if we would, but I just don't think it. I mean, to me, it doesn't look like we're ever going to get it. So what's the answer? Well, what was the answer here? Judgment. Judgment. The judgment hand of God coming. I don't know when the rapture is going to happen, folks, but it's got to be near. I would think it has to be near. I don't have a pipeline to heaven, where I could get the answer to that. Lord, when you coming back? He's not going to whisper it to me. But I can tell you, all you got to do is look around. All you have to do is look around. Look at our world. And folks, you're going to see that the stage is set for the Lord Jesus to come again. And so what David gives us here in this 15th verse is a look at how things work between God and a people. And in this case, I'm going to use between God and the United States of America. If there has ever been a nation that was established upon the truth of God's word, it was the United States of America. And you know, we did pretty good for a long, we had a good ride. But now look at our country. It's unrecognizable. It is absolutely unrecognizable. What is right has become wrong. And what's wrong has become right. Everything's just backwards in our land today. And so I think David describes America and describes this situation more accurately than any news media. I think he describes it better than any talk show host could or history book could ever describe. In the 15th verse, I want to point out to you a couple of things here, and I think these are national lessons. I think if we were to learn these lessons in America, we just might be able to turn this ship around. But will anybody listen? Will anybody listen? Are we ever going to learn? You know, instead of burning our cities down, and instead of looting, and instead of killing and destroying the nation, what we ought to be doing is what we did this morning and what we're doing here tonight. Instead of rioting, we ought to be repenting and come back to the Lord and come back to the Lord's church and seek the Lord and His direction for our country. Now, there are a couple things I want you to see. Let me read the verse again so you get it real settled in your mind. All right, let's read it. Verse 15. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. Now get that picture in your mind. A man digs a pit. Now why is he digging a pit? Well, he's digging a pit to catch an animal. And he's got a net down in that pit. And he covers it over. All right, he disguises that it's a pit. I don't know how he does it. Maybe he just uses some sticks or some straw. I don't know how he does it. But he makes a pit, digs it with his own hands. And he puts a net down in the bottom so that when the animal jumps in, it gets all wrapped up, tangled up in the net, can't get free. And all he has to do is come along, kill the animal, and he's got dinner for a few days. They mainly would set these to catch deer, the deer that were over there. They're not like our deer, they're not whitetail, but they do have deer over there. And that's primarily why they set dug the pit and set the trap. So see the picture, all right? The heathen are sunk down in the pit. Now you say, well, Pastor, how's that happen? Well, the man dug the pit, but he was thinking while he was working about the fight he just had with his wife the night before. And so he's all worried about how mad she is. And he gets it all done and then stands up and he's thinking, wow, I probably ought to go see if I can find some flowers. Maybe run down to the florist and see what I can find here. And then he turns around, boom, right down in the pit he goes. He falls into his own pit. That's the picture. You got it? All right. Then in the next part, he says the man sank down in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. So in that net, instead of a deer's foot, he has his own foot. Now, can you imagine when he starts screaming for help and one of his sons comes up or one of his friends comes over and looks at him down in the pit and he can't get out because his foot's all wrapped around and he sprained his ankle. Well, he's embarrassed. And his friend starts making fun of him. And he gets more embarrassed. And he looks like a fool before his peers. And the picture, of course, is that this world that we live in has dug a pit. That pit is called sin. There is a net down there that is called sin. And that net gets a hold of your foot and it won't turn you loose. And it hangs on and it holds on and it keeps you. What if he calls and calls and calls and nobody comes? What if a week goes by, nobody comes? And then another week and then another week. And what if he dies in that pit? You see, if somebody doesn't come and rescue him, he's going to die in that pit. And so, could that be where we're headed as a nation? I mean, we have dug our own pit, and now our country has fallen into that pit. And we can't get out. I'm telling you, folks, will we ever learn? Doesn't look like it. You say, what's the answer? Our Lord to come back. Our Lord to come back. Now, let me show you three little things here. There's three little lessons here. First of all, I want you to see the lesson that reveals how sin ruins us. It ruins people. It ruins a nation. It ruins a state. A state can make its own rules and regulations, and sin can ruin a state through its education program, through through abortion, through the gambling that goes on. So there are a lot of things that go on in our states and in our nation that are ruining our states and our nations, our nation. In the first part of this verse, David says, look at it, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they have made. What a dynamic statement that is. The question is, who are the heathen David is referring to? Well, this is a reference to all of the nations and people other than Israel. The heathen in the Bible are all the other nations except for Israel. They are the chosen people. And God refers to everybody else as heathen nations. Now, we think of those who are wayward, or we think of those who refuse to even think about God and their relationship with the Lord. And the truth is, that certainly does describe our nation for sure. But folks, let me again remind you that when our country was founded, the men who assembled to create and write our founding documents included God in every aspect, of the establishment of our nation. But just look where we are today. I'm sure you saw it this week. President Trump walked across the street to the Episcopal Church, where every president going back to James Madison has walked that same path across that street to pray or to attend a service there. And as Mr. Trump makes his way to the church, he is carrying a Bible. And the nation went nuts. I mean, the media just, they went crazy. And as they were walking, CNN said, Mr. President, what's that in your hand? They knew what was in his hand. And Trump, without even blinking, stood tall and turned around and held it up and said, it's a Bible. And he pointed to the Bible written on the front of it. It's a Bible, he said. And boy, when he said that, my, they lost their minds. I mean, if I ever had one. They lost their minds. Oh, no. He's got a Bible. Well, Mr. President, what about the separation of church and state? Oh, Mr. President, you have a Bible. Do you also have a Koran? Oh, Mr. President, how dare you do this? How dare you do this? Man, old Trump turned around, held that Bible up, and smiled from ear to ear. And I am so proud that he did that. They thought that the Supreme Court had already dealt with this issue. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, they thought that the Supreme Court decided that freedom of religion doesn't really mean freedom of religion, but it meant freedom from religion. That's what the left thinks. And so Mr. Trump showed them, no, it's not freedom from religion, it's freedom of religion. And here is the highest office in the land holding a Bible and trusting in the Lord to settle this issue. And I'm telling you, folks, that stirred my heart. I hope it stirred yours. Now look at this word pit. I've already described it for you. David said the heathen have sunk down in the pit that they made. They made it. So what exactly is this pit that David is referring to? Well, the meaning of the word pit refers to a trap that had been dug for an animal to unsuspectingly fall into and get caught in a net that was put down there. And they would disguise it, and then the animal would come walking along and just fall right in to the hole, to the pit that was dug, never expecting anything to go wrong. And the emphasis here is on the direction of sin. For you see, sin does not put us on the solid rock. Sin puts us down in the pit. Do you remember what David said, that he was in the pit and the Lord reached down into the pit and lifted him out? You see, sin always takes us down. It always ruins us, folks. It always destroys. It just continues to take the sinner lower and lower and further away from God. Oh, it's so sad that the sinner is doomed to experience a shame and a reproach that ruins and disgraces him or her eternally. We think our nation has just gotten so progressive with all this political correct speech and tolerance that we have allowed to come upon us. But listen to me, folks. All this has really done is it has emphasized the downward direction, the pit into which sin takes us. We can shoot two astronauts, put them on the front of a rocket. They'd never get me on the front of that rocket. How about you? No. I've watched too many of them things blow up on YouTube. No, thank you. But we can put two men in a little nozzle, stick it on the end of a rocket, blast them into space, and hook up with the International Space Station. And with all of our scientific ability, we can do that stuff almost routinely now. But spiritually and morally, our nation has not risen. Our people have sunk. We have not gotten better. We are continually getting worse. Why is that? I'll tell you why. It's because sin always takes you down. It always does. It's the nature of sin. Why in the world can we do all these wonderful things that we do in our country, but yet we cannot fix the problems that we have in this country? Why is that? It's because we won't deal with sin. That's it. We won't deal with sin. Now, there's another thing I want you to see. I want you to see another little lesson here, and it's the lesson of the retribution for sin. The retribution. David says, look at your verse. He says in the first part that the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. And then look at the last phrase. It says, which in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. You see, sin is not nice. It never treats you well. It may, for a season, be enjoyable, but it doesn't last. It never lasts. This statement that David made condemns sin and reminds us that sin is always going to get retribution upon us. It's always going to hurt us, folks. You cannot play with sin and expect not to get hurt. You can't do it. I remember years when I was a kid years ago, we were all sitting on the porch, and it was right after dinner. We were all sitting on the porch, and this boy in our community delivered the newspapers, and he came with the newspaper, and when he walked up, he had a great big shiner, great big old black eye. And my dad looked at him and said, "Well, who clocked you?" And he said, "Well, three of them." And my dad said, "Three of them?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, what happened?" And he said, "Well, I was picking on one of them." And all of a sudden, the two brothers came over. And boy, did I pay the price, he said. And he did. He got clocked underneath that eye, and it was swollen up, almost shut. You see, folks, when you mess with the devil, you always get burned. You play with the devil's fire, you always get burned. Nobody has succeeded. And yet somehow we think, "Well, I'm going to succeed." No, you're not. The devil's going to grind you to powder. You can just be assured of that. I mean, there is no doubt at all from the Bible, God condemns sin. But yet our world today thinks that God is A-OK with sin. I mean, we have made sin acceptable today. We've made it acceptable. You say, "Well, how have we done that?" Well, here's one for you. Oh, we use Christian rock in our church. Oh, well, I'm glad you told me that. It's Christian, so it's okay. What? But they justify it by saying, "Yeah, we use the world's music. We use the world's music, but it's Christian rock." All right, so does that change anything for anybody? Doesn't for me. Are these people burning down our cities this week having Christian bonfires? Huh? How about all the ones that are pulling the plywood off of the businesses and breaking windows and going in and stealing everything those shop owners worked to get for who knows how many years, and in 5 minutes' time, like a pack of wolves, they go in and clean it out? I suppose they're practicing Christian stealing. So it must be okay, right? I mean, it has Christian on the end of it. So it must be good. So, folks, do you not understand how all this works? I told you a couple weeks ago, you know, we call it pro-life. The world calls our position on abortion pro-life. But do we call the radicals' position on abortion pro-killing? Pro-murder? And the answer is no, we do not. No, that's pro-choice. Come on, everybody, get with the program. And it just goes on and on. We have made sin acceptable today. And folks, sin is still sin. And sin sinks a nation and a people in judgment from God. And folks, this really explains why in the last 50 years, America has lost the esteem of the world. And we were just starting to get that back with the Trump foreign policy position. But now, with all of this degradation that has been going on, this wickedness, this anarchy, well, the world is looking over at America and just shaking its collective heads and saying, I knew they were just like us. I knew they were just like us. You see, this is what third world nations do. This is what third world nations do. They kill their own. And I'm telling you, folks, we better repent as a nation or it's going to get ugly. You will not hear the media report anything I've said tonight because they don't believe what I've said tonight. They don't believe it at all. They are perfectly fine with abortion. They are perfectly fine with murdering millions of babies. And they are perfectly fine with America staying drunk. And they're perfectly fine with America staying high on drugs. They're fine with it. Not a big deal. They're perfectly fine with marijuana. Don't have a problem at all with it. Because Americans have made sin appealing. Folks, let me tell you something. Watching that this week and hearing the language, we're in trouble. You realize our young people cannot put a sentence together today without saying the F word. That's bad. That is despicable. We're in trouble, folks. And the only thing they can say is, we got to get rid of Trump. Trump's the problem. Trump's the problem. No, you're the problem. Please realize that retribution from God comes upon all sin. And it's going to come. Be sure your sin will find you out. They think everything's just fine and dandy, but David said, no, the heathen are sunk. They're sunk in their own pit. And the day of reckoning is coming, and I believe it's coming fast. Then thirdly, there's another little aspect of this, all right? I said that ruin, and then I said retribution. And this is similar, but I'm going to take it just a little different angle. But I wanted to thirdly, lastly, show you that there is reciprocation in sin. Folks, I'm telling you, God's not going to sit by and just let us do our own thing. He's just not going to do it. You see, a person, this picture is easy to see, a person sets a trap to catch an animal, but then he turns right around and he gets caught in his own trap. Now, wouldn't that be embarrassing? How would you explain to someone that you built a trap to catch a deer, but once you disguised your own trap, you're so dumb, you turned around and fell right in the trap that you had just disguised, and now you are ensnared, listen to me, in your own device. You get it? You're ensnared by your own trap, by your own device. David is explaining the reciprocation of sin. And folks, you would think that after 6,000 years of man being on this planet, that somewhere along the way, somebody would have figured out that by now, that sin is often its own executioner. You would think. We try to tell these young people, keep your nose clean. Keep your mind clean. Keep your eyes clean. Keep your mouth clean. I told mine when they were growing up, I ever hear that filth coming out of your mouth, I will tear you up. And I meant it. And to my knowledge, none of them, I know none of them ever did it around me because they're still living. But folks, listen, that's awful. To swear and use the name of God. Oh, my soul. Any idiot can do that. But you know, it takes somebody with a little sense to be able to put a sentence together that does not have a bunch of garbage in it. Think about that next time you go swearing against God. But you would think we would figure it out, that sin is it sometimes its own executioner. Now the Lord will send warnings, and he'll send another warning, and then he'll send another warning. But listen, one day the warnings are going to end. And he did that with Israel. There was old Jeremiah, and there was all the rest of those prophets preaching their little hearts out for years. For years. And what happened? Here comes Babylon. Jerusalem, Judah, collapsed by Babylon. And folks, let me tell you, God could do the same thing with America tonight. So our country better wake up. And the truth is, so often God just simply lets sin take its own course, and sooner or later, usually sooner, sin destroys the nation. We laid the traps of legalized gambling to catch the greedy in our country. We laid the traps of legalized gambling to put stars in the eyes of the poor. And we laid a trap that has caught up our society in destruction. I think it ought to be just a big sign to everybody. You listen to talk radio in the afternoon in your car, and they will advertise these gambling hell holes. And then after the advertisement is over, the state of Maryland will come on and put a public service announcement on saying, now listen, if you have a gambling problem, oh, for Pete's sake. You see, we laid the trap ourselves, and now we're caught in it. Are you listening to me? We laid the trap of throwing God out of our government. Folks, go down to Washington, D.C., and go in those buildings. Go in the Capitol. The Word of God is everywhere. And yet we came along and said, we got to get God out of this government of ours. And we laid the trap of profaneness. And now we have been caught in the results of profaning God and getting God out of our government. And that led us to laying the trap of removing God from our schools. That got us to the place where when our schools started turning out infidels to go into the churches to be the pastors. And now, for a couple of generations, we have infidels in the pulpits of our churches who have no idea who Jesus Christ is. And they preach a social gospel, patting men on the back, telling them how good they are. Well, if you've been watching the news this week, you know there's not much good in anybody anymore. You see, folks, eventually the chickens do come home to roost. Sin is like a boomerang. You throw it, it just comes right back at you. It just keeps coming back to haunt you. It is a bitter pill to swallow. But sin destroys everything it touches. Don't forget that. God told his people, be sure your sin will find you out, and it will. It always does. Because that is the nature of sin. It always eventually comes back to snag you by the foot and to hold you down in the pit. It's what it does. You've seen it, so have I. We've all seen it more times than any of us wants to admit. But some teenager starts smoking in high school or starts drinking in high school because they want to be cool. You know, all the jocks, you know, all the cool people, you know, they say, here, go ahead. Everybody's doing it. Go ahead and smoke. And then in college, that young person says, you know, I really need to give these things up. I think I'll just quit. But they can't. They got them claws in them, you know. The hooks are in them. And every time they try to get away, the devil just keeps pulling them back. And the years passed. And then at 50 years of age, he says, you know, New Year's Day is next week, and when New Year's Day comes, that's it. I'm going to quit. But he doesn't. Oh, he quit for an hour. But he doesn't quit. And then at 55, the doctor tells him, sir, I'm sorry, but I have bad news for you. You've got lung cancer. I will attack it aggressively, but it's probably going to take your life in no time. Do you know how many of our parents died because of those little white things? Do you know how many of our parents died? Yeah. Yep. I can't tell you how many. When I was younger, I can't tell you how many people I had their funeral, and when you looked at them in the casket, they were nothing more than a skeleton with skin stretched over it. Because cancer ate them alive. And they smoked. It always comes back. Young people, you better listen to your pastor tonight. I'm telling you. If the Lord tarries his coming, the devil's going to throw this stuff right in your face one of these days. You say, well, with what we're doing with cancer today, he has a good chance of living. Yeah, he does. But then at 60, he has a massive heart attack. How sad would that be? You see, folks, it never ends. It never ends. Folks, the truth is, I'm not sure that we as a people in America are ever going to figure all this out. We are a society, except for that remnant, those of us who know the Lord, thank God for that remnant, but we are a society who has fallen into a pit that we have dug ourselves. Will we ever learn? Well, I hate to say it, folks, but I'm beginning to wonder. I don't think we will. I really don't. Because you see, sin has so blinded the eyes of people today that multitudes are caught in the pit by a net that they carefully laid in place. God's men have been warning and sounding the alarm to this country for a long, long time now. But is anybody listening? My dear friend, I hope you are. I hope you are. But I can tell you tonight, our country's in trouble. And I want to challenge you to pray for America. Amen. Pray for God to put His hand upon this nation. Folks, if they regain power, So I guess basically what I did tonight was I preached on sin. I preached on sin. This fellow went to church one Sunday morning. Didn't tell his wife or his family where he was going. He just got up and thought, I'm going to go to church. He's a quiet guy. Didn't say much. He walked in, sat on the back row. Preacher got up and preached his message. The man then turned after church was over, walked out, got in his car, and drove home. He walked in the house, and his wife said, where have you been? He said, I went to church. He picked up the newspaper, walked across the kitchen, through the living room, sat down in his chair, and began reading the newspaper. His wife walked over and said, that's it? You just went to church? Yep, church. Well, what did the preacher preach on? He said, sin. She said, well, what did he say about it? And he said, he's against it. And so am I. It's what's killing us, folks. And yet we can't see it. Why is that? Sin has blinded the eyes of those that believe not. Oh, may God help us to wake up and see what's going on around us. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for David's remarkable insight here. He looked around at his own country, at his own people. And he saw what sin was doing to them. And I wonder what David would have to say today if he were here. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us to open up our eyes and to see, to realize that we're in the battle for the soul of this nation. And, Father, I pray that you will give us strength, help us to stand, help us to be bold. And help us, Father, to remember to pray for our leaders and to do what we need to do as Christians to hold back that sin that is so destroying and rotting away the fabric of our country. Father, I pray that you will bless our young people here tonight. I pray that every one of them will never forget what they have heard tonight. And in the years to come, when they get out on their own, and they don't have mom and dad, and they don't have Pastor Josh, and they don't have me, and the devil comes along and says, come on. This is fun. Everybody's doing it. Father, may they remember this service right here tonight. And may they take a stand for you. I pray, Father, you'll give us convicted hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.